The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Gittin Daf Yud Aleph. We're 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. So the Gemara is in the middle of one of the more difficult sugyas in Masechtas Gittin, and that is the sugya of Shtoreis Ha'olim Ba'arkoi Shal Oivdei Kechavim, where the Edim that are signed on these Shtoreis are also Oivdei Kechavim. So generally, the assumption throughout Shas is that non-Jews, Gentiles, are posel eidos. But here we have a whole sugya in Shas regarding non-Jews that are signed as eidei chasima on a shtar, whether they would be kosher or posel. And as we saw in the last blot or so of Gemara, there are many variables. Number one, are we talking about a shtar raya? We're talking about a shtar that actually creates a kinyan. Gittin v'kedushin has a very special area in these halachas. Rav Meir holds Eide Chasima Karti, Rav Elazar holds Eide Mesira Karti. It would matter whether the sugyas are going Aliba the Rav Meir or whether they're going Aliba the Rav Elazar. So many variables, an Arichos in the Rishonim, an Arichos in the Poiskim, an Arichos amongst the Lamdim, again from the more difficult sugyas here in the beginning of Masechtas Gittin. So we're really at the last leg of this sugya, but I think before we start the Gemara, just a very brief intro, just a few minutes, just to get up to speed, and just a few important yesoides. It's impossible to be makif the entire sugya, but just a few important yesoides that are negeya, not only this gemara right here, but that will be negeya in the future as well. The Mishnah said that even though Eidim that are non-Jews, that sign on a get isha, or on a get shichrer, are posel, so a goy cannot be an eid chasima on a get isha. However, b'shtarei mamin, there will be kosher. And there were two opinions in the Gemara, whether that's only b'shtar raya, or it'd be true even with a shtar matana, a shtar that's actually creating a kinyan. The question is, if goyim are posel eidos, why would they be kosher to sign on a shtar? So the truth is, it's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos why it is exactly that goyim are going to be kosher. Tosfos at the beginning of the sugya, Daf Tes Amid Beis, says that this that we find in our sugya, that it's possible for a goy to be a kosher eid on a shtar, it's only midrabbanan, meaning midday raisa, a goy is posel eidos. And the truth is, a chereshoyt of a cotton can't sign on a shtar, a woman can't sign on a shtar. So you would think certainly a non-Jew can't sign on a shtar either. And Tosfos says the truth is, on the day raisa level, a goy is possible to sign on a shtar. This, that we have a Mishnah that says there are certain shtarei mamon that a goy is kosher to sign on, it's only midrabbanan. It's a takonas chachamim. The chachamim said we should believe a goy. Presumably the reason the Chachamim had a right to believe the guy is related to the halachas of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, related to the sugis and shas of Yesh Koyach Biyad Chachamim, Lakir, Dovim, and Atoiro, Bekum, Vaseh. But either way, it says Tosfos is only Midrabbanan. It's a special takanas Chachamim that we're going to believe the guy. It says Tosfos, why? It's only because and when there's actually an umdana, there's a chazaka that Bezdin has a right to assume that the guy didn't lie. Meaning you don't have to assume that because he's not Jewish, he's for sure not telling the truth. There are times where you have to be chashud that maybe he's not telling the truth, but there are also times that there's an umdana, there's a chazaka that he probably is telling the truth. The sugya of erkoyis oivdei kechavim, where chesmeyam oivdei kechavim, where it's going to be kosher, it's all in a hechitimtza, where there's an umdana that the guy is telling the truth. If there's an umdana, the guy is telling the truth, even though midei raisa, it shouldn't be kosher. Yesh koyach biyat chachamim, hefker bezen hefker, special takaros chachamim, we're going to believe the guy. This Tosfos is right here in Gittin Daf Tes Amud Beis, and Tosfos says the same yesoid in Masechtas Bava Kama Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph. In Bava Kama Pei Ches Amud Aleph, Tosfos quotes Shitas Rashi, where Rashi, it's a diuk in Rashi, the Rashi that Tosfos quotes is in Masechtas Gittin Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, on the back end of the sugya that Rashi argues. And Rashi says that this that a guy is sometimes believed as an eid chasim, a kosher on a shtar, it's on the deiraisa level. In other words, Machlekes Rashi Tosfos, when we believe these eidim by shtarei mamon, is it only midrabbanan that we're believing them, or are we believing them on the deiraisa level as well? The big kasha that the Rishonim asked, that goes Ashri and Achreinim, spend a lot of time trying to answer this kasha on Tosfos, is that if you're telling me a new svara that a guy really is possible eidos midrabbanan, the Rabbanon said that to the extent there's an umdana that they're probably telling the truth, hefker bezdin hefker, let's accept his eidos, then you have to be consistent. That should be the case any time you ever have an eid that signed on a shtar who be'etzim is an eid apostle, if there's an umdana that he's probably telling the truth, you should believe him. And we know that's not the case. And the classic example of that is Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. They were brothers. And because they were brothers, they were Krovim. They cannot walk into Bezdin and say Eidos together. Krovim apostle Eidos. But If Moshe and Aaron would walk into Bezin, does anybody have a Havamino that there's a chash meshaka, that maybe not telling the truth? Of course we know they're telling the truth. There's certainly a chazoka that they're telling the truth. And afal pikein, being that they're apostle edos, we don't care about the chazoka. And the Chum never made a takana that we should accept their edos. So freak that goy sashri on Tosfos, that if you're telling me really goy might not never medei raisa, it's only medirabon on takanas chachamim, kol kama, there's an umnino that they're telling the truth, then how come when Moshe and Aaron walk into Bezin, we have the same exact umnino that they're telling the truth? Do we say the apostle edos, we're not going to accept their edos? So that's that goy sashri's Kash on Tosfos. But either way, Machlek is Rashi and Tosfos, whether they're believed midday Raisa or they're only believed midrabanan. The Ktsois HaChoshen in Simen Samaches makes a diuk in another Rashi that Rashi Lishitasoi holds that this that Goyama believed to sign Edei Chasim on a Shtar Momin is on the Raisa level, and it's not only midrabanan. And that Rashi again was in our Sugyo on Daftes on the base. The Gemara over there is saying this Chiluk that Goyim cannot be Eid Chasimo on a Get Isha, but they could be an Eid Chasimo on a Shtar Momen. Rashi says, what's the reason for it? So Rashi, it's three lines from the top of Daf Tes Amud Beis. Chutz Megidei Noshim, the Labnei Krisis Ninu. Hoyuvuloi Shaykh, but there's Gittah V'Kedushin. The reason they're not kosher to be Eid Chasimo on a Get is because they have no Shaykhis to the Parsha of Gerishin. The Parsha of Kedushin and Gerishin was said when a Yid marries a Yid. When two Jews get married, there's a parsha of Gittin, there's a parsha of Kiddushin. Bnei Noach, non-Jews, are not shayach to Isha Niknes Bekesav Shtarabiyah. They're not shayach to the parsha of a Kosav Lasef, a Krisos, Vanasa Meyodah. This is a parsha that was given exclusively to Jews. It was never given to non-Jews. So being that they're excluded from the parsha, they cannot be Edim with something that will affect this parsha. Aval aladinim, but when it comes to Shtori Mamin, says Rashi, that Goyim do have a Shaychus too. Where do you find that they have a Shaychus to dinim? Nitztavu bnei Noach. Because one of the Sheva mitzvahs bnei Noach, says Rashi, is dinim. So they have no Shaychus to the parsha of Gittah V'Kedushin. They do have a Shaychus to the parsha of dinim. It's for that reason they're kosher edim when it comes to dinim, it comes to Shtori Mamin, they're going to be posel edim when it comes to Gittah V'Kedushin. Says the Ktzois, it sounds very much from this Rashi that Rashi is discussing on the Doraisa level. Meaning Rashi is saying that what's the difference between a Yid and a non-Yid when it comes to Shtari Mamin? Just like Yidin have a parasha of Dinim, Goyim also have a parasha of Dinim. And to the extent that a Yid can be a kosher Eid on a Shtar, there's no reason a Goy can't be a kosher Shtar either. And this is Rashi Lishitase, the Rashi that Tois made a Diyak in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph in Masechtas Gittin, that Rashi argues with Tosfos and says that a Goy's Nemonos as an Eid Chasimo on Shtari Mamin is not only Midrabanon, Hefker Bezen Hefker, but he's actually going to be a kosher Eid Midrei Reis as well. But just one interesting agav, something light, a little Chumash Torah Erev Shabbos, that's not this week's partial Chumash Torah, but it's Chumash Torah nonetheless, and that is, so Rashi says that the reason Goyim are kosher to be Eidim on a Shtar Momin is because they're included in the halachas of Dinan. It's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Now the truth is that there's really a very big, a very important Machlokes Rishonim, the Rambam in Yad Chazaka, and the Ramban in the Spirish Al Torah, what it means when we say that Bnei Noach are mitzvah on dinim. The context of this machloikis, Rambam Ramban, is in Parshas Vayishlach, after the story of Shechem and Dinah, and of course we know that Shimon and Levi go and they wipe out the entire city of Shechem. And all the Rishonim are bothered. What exactly did the city of Shechem do, the entire city no less, to deserve to be killed by Shimon Levi? And the truth is you find that Yaakov was very upset. He got really angry at Shimon Levi. So Shimon Levi thought they were doing something right. Yaakov thought they were doing something wrong. But either way, from Shimon Levi's perspective, what was it exactly that Shechem did, the city of Shechem, that they deserved to be killed? So the Rambam in his Yad Chazaka famously says that what they did was they were over one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Which one? Dinan. The Rambam says that what is the mitzvah of Dinan? The mitzvah is that every Ben Noach community has an obligation to put together a governing body that's going to enforce the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. That's what their obligation is. The Rambam's lashon is v'ketzad he'mitzuvan al adinim chayovim lohoshev dayonim v'shoiftim b'chol plach u'plach lodun b'sheish mitzvahs elu u'lahazir asa'am u'ben Noach sh'ov alachis ben Sheva Mitzvahs elu yahorik b'sayif. And the halacha we know is as haras and zuhi misas, that if Ben Noach is over one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, he's chay miso. Says the Rambam, fast forward to the end, u'mipnezen eschay v'kol balishchem hariga. This is why the Anshei Shechem were Chayim Misa. Shari Shechem Gaza, he stole Dina. The Heim Ra'u, they saw, the yadu, and they knew, the loidanu, and they didn't judge him. So they were all over on dinim, and it was for that reason they were chayv misa. The Ramban asks a great kasha on the Rambam. He asks many kasha on the Rambam. He says if they were over on dinim, then why was Yaakov upset? So he has many problems with this Ramban. But toich dvarav, the part of this that's relevant to our sugya is, says the Ramban, with regards to the Rambam's definition of dinim, which is one of the zayim mitzvah bnei noach, which the Rambam defined as them having an obligation the obligation is to set up courts that will enforce the Shevet. I have a much broader definition of what dinim is. I'll read to the Lashon Ramban inside, which may seem surprising. It's not only what the Rambam said. The dinim that the Bnei Noach are mitzuve in is they have to have a whole chayshe mishpat. They have to have a real judicial system with oynes u'mafata, oishes char socher, dinei shoymim, oves nazikin, chayvo b'chaveri. They have the same mitzvahs dinim that you didn't have. That's the Lashon HaRambam. The Lashon HaRambam. Ki'ine hadinim shenutzav Yisrael. So I was wondering whether this Rashi that says that the reason Bnei Noach are kosher to be edei chasim on shtari moment, it's because they're shaykh to the parish of dinim. Where do you find the shaykh to the parish of dinim? The sheft, one of the sheft mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Could be it's telling this machloik is Rambam and Ramban. According to the Ramban, that the mitzvah of dinim that Bnei Noach have is ke'inyan hadinim shenutzav Yisrael, the Lashon HaRambam. So they have the same parish of dinim like we have. We have oynes u'mafata, they have oynes u'mafata. We have malva v'loiva, they have malva v'loiva. So they're included in the same parasha. So on the Yeraisa level, like the Tzoyis was Medayik and Rashi, there's no reason they shouldn't be kosher edi chasima. Gittin, kedusha, that's something they have no shaykhas to. Therefore, they're going to be excluded. However, according to the Rambam's definition of the Ben Noach's mitzvah of dinin, it's a very narrow definition. It only relates to their Zayim mitzvah Bnei Noach. Our dinim has no shaykhis to that. We have a mitzvah of dinim with a whole cheshem mish, but a whole noshim nezikin. Their dinim is only with regards to Shevet mitzvah Bnei Noach. It could be on that note, there'd be no mokim for this Rashi. But either way, just two other ha'aris b'derech agav, and then we'll start the daf. Number one, my son Shlomo Zalman told me that his Rebbe said over a beautiful meshachachma with regards, it's a hashtag classic meshachachma. Can't pass this up. With regards to why it was that Shimon V'Levi felt that Shechem was Chayav Misa, and why Yaakov disagreed, and he felt to the contrary. You had no right to do what you did. Shimon V'Levi told Shechem that if they want to intermarry together with the Shvatim, they're going to have to do a bris milah. So there's a Tesefta Masechta Sanhedrin that says that a guy that is Chayvel Ba'atzmoy, he's over one of the Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach. That's not 100% clear which one of the Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach he's over. Is he over Shvichas Domim? Maybe it's even Dinim, but it's a Tesefta. That a guy that's Chayvel Ba'atzmoy is over one of the Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach. A guy that's over one of the Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach, Azharasan, Zui Misasan, is going to be Chayv Misa. Shimon V'Levi told Shechem to do Bris Milah. Was Shechem's Mila a real authentic Mila, or was it not a real authentic Mila? It's a big discussion in the Achronim. There's Radvaz. It's a beautiful discussion in the Kadmonim whether it was ever treated as a real Mila or wasn't treated as a Mila. If it wasn't a real Mila, it comes out they did bris Mila, Shaloi b'mokim mitzvah, which means they were chayvo ba'atzmoy. If they were chayvo ba'atzmoy, they were over one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, as haras and zui misas, and they're going to be chayv misa. Shimon Levi held that it wasn't a real Mila. If it wasn't a real Mila, the chayv misa, because they were chayvo ba'atzmoy. However, Yaakov held that it was a real Mila. If it was a real Mila, then they weren't chayvo ba'atzmoy. That was the machlekes. Shimon Levi held it wasn't a Mila. Yaakov Avinu held it was a Mila. Thus, this machlokes, this shakli v'tarya, whether Shimon V'Levi were right for killing the Anshei Shechem, or they weren't killing the right. They weren't right for killing Anshei Shechem. But one other interesting ha'ara, and that is, right after the story of Shechem, so Vayomer Elokim El Yaakov, so Yaakov goes to his family, and he tells them, Hosiru es Elohei HaNechar Hashem Zeichem, get rid of all the Elohei Nechar that you have inside your house, V'hitaru V'achlifu Simlei Seichem. And not just that, you have to make yourself tar. So we once spoke about the end of this pasuk. We spoke out the Targum Yonasan on this pasuk that says, what are they being metired themselves from? Tumas Meis. Because when they killed Shechem, they became Tomei Tumas Meis. And this is not so pasuk. They were Goyim, Akim and Amitam and Meis. So we once spoke out a nice raid on this Targum Yonasan. But just something with regards to the beginning of this pasuk, pasuk, which is related to the fact that last night was Nittel. I saw b'shem Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Rishonim, that Yaakov said Hasiru es Elohei Hanechar. Says if the gematria of Elohei Hanechar is 316, the gematria of Yeshoy Yud Shin Vav is also 316. Yeshoy Elohei Nechar is 316. He is the Avi Avoy Satoma when it comes to Elohei Nechar. That's this remez over here. Incidentally, you say in Aleinu, Shaloy Asanu Kigoya Rotzlis Vlay Samanu Kimishu Chesu Adoma, Shehe Mishtachavim Lahevel Varik, Umispalim El El, Loyoshia. Varik is also Bigamatria 316. And it's brought down from Kadmoinim that when you say Shehe Mishtachavim Lahevel Varik, to have in mind Yeshe Hanoitri, that's who you're referring to. That's who the Goyim worship, but just one agav, and today's, maybe it is the day for it, but not the time for it, and that is that whether or not Yeshei HaNoitzri is considered Elihei Nechar, Christianity, is it Avodah Zarah or is it not Avodah Zarah? It was a machlokes Rishonim. It was a tremendous machlokes between the Bali Tosfos and the Chachmei Sfar, the Rambam. Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, the Beza Manala brings from Rabbeinu Tam. That Tosfos asks Akasha, you learn Masechtas Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to do business with the Noitzrim, not 3 days before the Yontif and not 3 days after the Yontif. So, fake Tosfos, we have a problem. Why? Because Sunday is Yontif. So, 3 days before Yontif, it's like a lot of people's jobs. 3 days before, 3 days after, listen, but the point is, how exactly that's Tosfos Kasha. So Rabbeinu Tam says a few truths, and one teretz Tosfos says is Rabbeinu Tam that the Noitzrim that we live amongst today, the Nanoiv the Avodah Zarah. Why? Because they believe in God. They believe in Hashem. They just also believe in Yeshay. It's Shituf. A Yid is not allowed to believe in Shituf. A Goy, even though Avodah Zarah is one of the Shev Mitzvah Pnei Noach, Shituf is not Avodah Zarah. And Tosfos famously said that the Noitzrim were not Avodah Zarah. It's Natsrus is not Avodah Zarah. That's Tosfos Shita. The Rambam argued, the Rambam held that it was Avodah Zarah. The same machlokes you have regarding whether not Avodah Zarah, you have regarding Islam, whether that was treated as Avodah Zarah or not. So the Rambam Shita was that Christianity was Avodah Zarah. However, the Rambam held that Islam was not Avodah Zarah. Anyone that's familiar with the Rambam's writing, a lot of this has been censored, but the Rambam had a very low opinion of the Muslims. He lived amongst them, and he referred to them as Mishugoyim and Tipshim. He gave them absolutely zero respect. In the Ma'ir Nevuchim he writes, in his letters he writes about them, he had very, very little respect. He believed, it's true, that they distorted everything. They had Moshe Rabbein living in the times of Purim, and Haman grows up in Paris Palace, it's Yontif and the Vachim. But either way, the Rambam didn't even treat it as a Avodah Zarah. But this remez of Elohei Nechar being bigamatria, Yeshoy could be as Tali, and this machlek is Rishayim, where the Natsrus is in fact Avodah Zarah. So I didn't get to play chess this little, but at least we could talk out a little bit of Inyan of the Yom. Zok to Gemara. So we are again 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Ravina says the Gemara, Zavar l'achshurei b'chnuf yasa d'amoy. Ravina wanted to be machshur once a shtar mamoin that was prepared by a non-Jewish court. The edim that was signed on the shtar were non-Jews. However, it wasn't prepared in a real court. It was prepared, this was one of these pop-up courts. So he had a bunch of intelligent people that they had some paralegals. They got together and they wanted to be machshir the shtar. Amalei Rafram, so Rafram told Ravina that even though it says in the Mishnah that when it comes to certain shtar imamin, edim that achsum that abnei noach could be kosher, but erkoistan has to be a real court. And if it's not a real court, it's going to be possible. Amar Rava said, Hai shtar parso, de masro nahale, bahape sahadi. So Rava was talking about a shtar parso. It was prepared by a Persian court. The edim that was signed on the shtar were also Persians. Not only was it prepared by a Persian court, but it wasn't even a real court. And being that it wasn't a real court, it's like this last halacha that we just said, where Rafram said, Erkoistan. If it's not a real court, it's never ever going to be kosher. However, there was still a discussion here. Maybe it should be kosher. And the reason was, the Masri Nahale Ba'apisad Yisrael. Because it was given over in front of Edim Misiru that were Yidden. And being that the Edim Misiru were Yidden, so that was the suggestion that maybe it should be kosher. So Rava Paskin, and Rava said, Magbina Mevnechari, that the way you have to treat the shtar is not like a real shtar, where you could be goiva even from the Nechasim Mishubadim, but rather you would have to treat it as a loan that was done by Peh, as a milvah by Peh, where you could be goiva from the Bnei Chayri, but you can't be goiva from the Nechasim Mishubadim. So again, what's the difference between a milval peh and a milval shtar? So if Ruvain lends Shimon $100 on January 1st, The halacha is Reuven now has a lien on any bnei chayrin, any property that Shimon's going to have at the time that Reuven goes to be goyva. So 3 months later, it's April 1st, he's coming now and he says, I want you to pay up the loan that I made to you. So any nechasim that he has in his possession at that time, he's going to be able to take. What if Reuven had certain possessions, certain assets January 1st, he then sold them off, the money's now sitting in a Swiss account somewhere, he has no access to the money, April 1st comes, he says, where's the money? So he says, case of Manulan, right? Where is it? He says, I don't have it anymore. Could you go now and take the assets that Shimon owned at the time that the loan was done based on the premise that he had already a lien on it? It depends. If the milvah was done balpeh, then the halachas, you cannot. You could only be goyva for the bnei chori. That's only what Shimon actually has in his possession at that time. If it was a milvah b'shtar, then you have a lien on the assets, then you're allowed to go back. So that was Rava's psak. Rava said that this shtar parsa is only kosher because of the edi mesira. I mean that it's only kosher because of the edi mesira. You have to treat it as a milvah balpeh. If you're not relying on the edim that achsum on the shtar, you can't give it the special status that a shtar has. You can't be goyva from the nechasa mishabadim. But the Gemara asks a technical question. How could you rely on this Eidim Asira? The Eidim Asira, we're assuming they didn't speak Persian. So if they didn't speak Persian, how could they be Eidim Asira on the shtar if they can't read the content of the shtar? There must be the Yodi, Akasha Famaisa. They did know. But when a shtar is prepared in a Jewish court, there's certain halachas. For example, you have to use a certain type of parchment. They used to treat the parchment with gall nuts. Why? Because apparently, once you treat it with gall nuts, at that point, you can't forge it anymore. So the Gemara's kasha is that presumably the Persians don't have the same minig. So from that perspective, it should be puzzle, says the Gemara, bedafitz. And it's talking about they did treat it with gall nuts. Another technical problem, how could you rely on the shtar? Isn't there halacha and chesha mishpat that at the end of the shtar, you have to write a little summary? Like, in summary, Reuven basically owes Shimon $8 million. And that's what you do, like, on the bottom of the shtar. So they presumably didn't do that. The Gemara says, they did do that. But faith the Gemara, it sounds like the shtar was prepared fine. You have Edom Asira. Why can't you rely on the shtar? The Gemara says, less like color. The reason is because being that the Edom that were signed were not Jewish Edom, you're not going to have a color. If a Yid signs on a shtar, he's going to go home. He's going to tell all his friends about it. That already, the mikvah, exactly. Kiddush club, everyone's going to know about it. But this, being that the Persians signed on it, so they don't have the same. It's not going to happen. Okay. So the Gemara, Bayiminei Reish Lakish, May Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question: Edim Achsumen Ala Get. What if you have Edim that are signed on a get? So here we're talking about a get isha Ushmoisam Kishmoisav Dekechavim, and the names that are signed are names that are not Jewish names. Mahu, what's the halacha? So Tosfos explains, the top Tosfos is really like a Rashi type of Tosfos, where Tosfos explains exactly what the Gemara Shaila was. We had in the Mishnah, in the Afyura Manalaf, Machlokes, Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, whether or not it's ever possible to be Machshir or get Isha, where the Edom that are signed on the Shtar are non-Jews or not. According to the Chachamim, Kol Ashtoros, Ha'ilim Barkoi Shal Akum, Ksherim Chutz Mikitei Nashim V'Shachruy Avam. So the Tanakam of the Chachamim, the Mishnah, the Yudim Gates holds, that a get isha is never kosher if the Edom that are signed are non-Jewish Edom. Reb Shimon said, it's possible sometimes for it to be kosher. When is it going to be possible? What's Pshat in Reb Shimon? So the Gemara said, Yor, Reb Shimon L'shitas is Reb Elazar. Reb Shimon knows like Reb Elazar knows Edom Mesira Karti, and as long as you have Edom Mesira, it's going to be fine. However, the Gemara made a very important caveat in when Reb Shimon said his halacha. Reb Shimon's halacha was only said if the names of the goyim that are signed on this get isha are shemos mufakim. They're names that are very noticeably, very obviously non-Jews. Exactly. If it's a name that is certainly not a Jewish name, then it's going to be fine. But a name that could be a Jewish name, where the person that signed is actually not Jewish, in that case, it's going to be possible. So Tosfos says that the Gemara's Shaila over here was Aliba de Reb Shimon. So the names are like Goyish names, so they're the question is, but we don't know if they are Jews or not Jews. Mahu, what's the halacha? Now, again, according to Reb Shimon, who holds that the only time non-Jews that sign are kosher if they're Shemus Mufakim. These Shemus are obviously not Shemus Mufakim because to the extent that we're not sure whether they're Jewish names or non-Jewish names, they're obviously not Shemus Mufakim. So what's Halacha going to be? Amalisi told him, Leboli Yodenu, Elo Lukus Velus Vechsharno. So Rabbi Yechon told Reish Lakish, I had a similar Shaila that came to our court, and over there the two Edom that were signed on the Shtar, one's name was Lukus, and the other one's name was lus v'chsharnu, and we said that it's going to be kosher. But v'davka lukas v'lus l'shchichi yisro the maskev shmasayu. These are shemas mevokim. Avol shmasa achrina the shchichi yisro the maskev shmasayu loy. But something else, not meaning if it's for sure shemas mevokim, then I'm fine with it because I know for sure that they're non-Jews. The problem over here is they may be non-Jews and they're shemloy she'ena mevokim, because if they were shemas mevokim, then you wouldn't have a shaylo. So obviously, we're not sure whether they're Yidden that are signed or they're not Yidden that are signed. And so for that reason, I can't be machsho this get. Freitim where Israel asked you a kasha, gitim abom dinas hayom, a get that came from dinas hayom, ve'edin chsumen aleyem, apal pishesh meisem, kishem esav dikachavim kshayrim, even though you look at the names and they look like non-Jewish names, you don't have to assume that the Edom that signed on the shtar are not Jewish. And the reason is, mipnei sheroiv yisrael shebechutz floretz shmoiseyem, kishmois oiv dikachavim. Most Jews that were living in chutz floretz had non-Jewish names. The assumption is that Beis Din wouldn't find a non-Jewish aid to sign out a Gedisha, because we know the basic halacha, Stam Safri, the Daina, Migmag Miri. So the assumption certainly is that the Edom are kosher. What's throwing us for a loop is the name. But if Rav Jews anyways have non-Jewish names, then there's no reason to be chayish that these are not Yidden. But either way, so you have a Mefurisha Braisa that says that Rav Shemois Shebechutz Laretz were non-Jewish names. So what was the shayla? Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, I'm not sure. I don't know if these names are Jewish names or non-Jewish names. I'm not going to be machshir. If I know for sure that they're non-Jewish names, Shemus Mufakim, then I'll be fine if there's Edom Asir. Then you could work it out with Rabbi Shimon. But to the extent that you have a suffix, you're not sure. You don't have Rabbi Shimon. According to Chachamim, it's a suffix that it may be a kasher yet, it may be a apostle yet. There's no way for me to be machshir it. But the Gemara said, it's not a kasher Rabbi Yochanan. Because over there, we were talking about a get that came from Chutz Laretz. Hasam kidektani taimo. But over here, this Shiloh was in Eretz Yisrael. If you look at the top Rashi, Edom Achsumen al Get Umi Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish both lived in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, in Eretz Yisrael, there people were a little bit more careful to not use non-Jewish names, and as a result, you don't have that same umdana. Well, you have an umdana, so the umdana is that it's probably a Yid signing the get. What's, again, throwing us off is the non-Jewish name. Most Jews anyways went with non-Jewish names, so there's no reason to assume that it's a guy. But in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have that umdana, and you have a name that may be a non-Jewish name. That's what's throwing us off. It's for that reason that Rabbi Yochanan wasn't sure. The Ikad Amri ki masnisa. Some had a different version in this exchange. The Shiloh was the Shiloh of the Braisa. If somebody brings a get not from Eretz Yisrael, but rather a get from Medina Sayyam, and you have non-Jewish sounding names, is a kosher apostle, Upashalev Masnisa, and he told him it's a Mefurish of Braisa. In this Braisa, you see Mefurish that at least from Chutz Laretz it's possible. The Shiloh is what about Eretz Yisrael? That was this exchange according to the first Lishna in the Gemara between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. And this concludes a rather difficult sugya. But the Gemara right here at the end gave us a layup. We have here a discussion in the Gemara of Yidden using non-Jewish names. And it sounds like it was the Minhag Yisrael, where the Lashon HaGemara is, Roiv Yisrael Shebechutz La'aretz Shmoiseyem Kishem Yisrael Dekechavim. Apparently it was only in Chutz La'aretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. That is the Shakla V'Tarya in the Gemara. But the question then becomes, is it okay for a Yid to have or use a non-Jewish name? Or is it not okay for a Yid to use or not use a non-Jewish name? So the truth is that just before that, we like to chazer over the raid sometimes. One thing that we've talked about in the past is giving a Yid a name that was the name of a Rasha. Are you allowed to name your child a name that was the name of a Rasha, especially a well-known Rasha, or not? So we'll talk first a little bit about that for a few minutes, and we'll go from there right into this discussion and some halacha l'maaseh, some interesting tshuvas from Moshe Feinstein with regards to using a secular name or not using a secular name. The Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma Daf Lamed Ches Lamed Beis, the Shem Risham Yirkov. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. May the Shem Risham Yirkov. Amar Rabbi Loza Rakfivus Tala B'Shmoysam. May their names rot, the actual names. Tulei Maskina B'Shmayu. Because if somebody was a Rasha and he had a certain name, this name, you put a moratorium on that name. You're not supposed to use that name anymore. You don't give anybody that name. Tosfos over here in the Tosfos Yeshanim asks a gevaldige kasha. His kasha is that once upon a time, Yidden used to name their children Yishmael, the great Tana Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, it's actually a very common name amongst the Tanam, amongst the Chachmei HaTalmud. For whatever reason, something flipped in history where today Yidden don't give the name Yishmael anymore. It's just not a name that's commonly given. But once upon a time it was. And being that once upon a time it was, it means it's okay. Who is Yishmael? Yishmael was the son of Avram. Yishmael was a Peradam. So if Yishmael was a Peradam, how are you allowed to give the name Yishmael? So Tos says like this. Oh, so there is a Manda Amar Rashi brings a Chumash that Yishmael did Tshuva. So if Yishmael did Tshuva, then it's not a Kasha. Because although the majority of his life, perhaps, he was a Rasha, but ultimately, in the final analysis, Yishmael's a Tzaddik. So if Yishmael's a Tzaddik, it's for that reason that you're allowed to give the name Yishmael. But Tos's Kasha is, according to the Manda Amar, Mesechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dalit Amar Aleph, that Ein Avram Matzales Yishmael, because Yishmael didn't do Tshuva. So Frank, Tos Yishon, and how you allowed to give the name Yishmael? What happened to Vashem Yishom Yirkov? Yishloimer says, Tos's, the Yishmael HaKadosh Baruch Hu Korei Kach, Umaskina Bishmei Shaper. Who gave Yishmael the name Yishmael? Hashem. Hashem is the one who named Yishmael. Being that this is a name that Hashem gave, this is an exception to the rule. A man-made name that a goy or a rasha had, that's a name that we don't touch. That name is off limits. However, this is a name that came from the Eibishta. Being that Hashem himself is the one that named Yishmael, for some reason, this is going to be different. So that's name number one. Another interesting name where this comes up is Korach. The Chassam Sofer in two places, in his Teiras Moshe Ala Teir, in the beginning of Parashas Korach, and it's also in his Shail Sechuvis, Ebenezer Chelik Beis, Simchav Beis, where the Chassam Sofer in both places is bothered with what he considers a Pliya Atzuma. He doesn't understand how Yitzhar, Ben Kahas, Ben Levi, who was a tzaddik, was able to name his son Korach. The name Korach surfaces way before Parashas Korach in the Torah, amongst the descendants of Esav. Esav had a child, or an enikel, whose name was Korach. So freaked the Chassam Sofer, how is it possible that Yitzhar was over on this very basic halacha of the Shem Risham Yirkov, which the Gemara says in Yuma Lamed Ches Amid Beis, the Loi Maskina B'Shmael. That's the Chassam Sofer's kasha. Says the Chassam Sofer, I don't have a good teretz. However, who knows if the reason Korach had such a sad and horrible ending is not because there was something in his name, which was the name of a Rasha, that caused him to have this mapolity. So it says this in two places. So a fascinating discussion with regards to the name of Korach. I left the Marsha in Chedush HaGadis, a beautiful Marsha in Sanhedrin, Chedush HaGadis, Daf Kuf Tes on the days related to this Chum Sefer. We'll have no choice to save it for another day. Another few areas where this comes up is with regards to the name of Shaul. Shaul HaMelech. So Shaul HaMelech was, of course, a Melech Yisrael. But Shaul is another name that surfaces earlier, Shaul ben Aknanis. And Shaul ben Aknanis is none other than Zimri. Zimri goes down as a Rasha. Pinchas killed Zimri. So how was Shaul HaMelech allowed to have the name Yishmael? Shaul's parents, why were they not afraid to use the name Shaul? He's a well-known biblical Rasha. Another good kasha, Eliezer. Eliezer Eved Avram. Dachreinim asked this kasha. Comes, whose else's name is Eliezer in the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu has a son, Gershom and Eliezer. So the Achreinim there ask, how would Moshe name his son Eliezer? Eliezer was an Eved. An Eved is Arur. How is he allowed to name Eved? So again, just a few names here where this comes up. Yishmael, Korach, Shaul, Eliezer. But just one interesting thing, and that is, what about non-Jewish names? Is it okay to give a non-Jewish name, or is it not okay to give a non-Jewish name? So we're all familiar with the Medrash in Parshas Emor. And this is a Medrash in Parshas Emor. It's a Mechilta. It's something that comes up many, many times. Says the Gemara Azoy, Rav Huna Omar B'Shem Bar there were four things that the Yidden had going for them that ultimately was the reason, their ticket to be redeemed from Mitzrayim. Number one, they never changed their names. They maintained their Jewish names. And they spoke in the Jewish language. They also didn't speak Lashon Hara. There was no one there that was Paritz Be'erva. And the Medrash explains, how do you know they didn't change their names? Because Ruvein v'Shimon Nachtin, when the Shvatim came down, and the Torah describes the Shvatim descending onto Mitzrayim, so it mentions them by their Jewish names, Ruvein and Shimon. And when they leave Mitzrayim, how are the Shvatim referred to? Again, as Ruvein v'Shimon. It says the Medrash, you currently Yehuda Rufa, you don't find that Yehuda's name somewhere became Rufa along the way. V'loyla Ruvin, Luliani, and you don't find that he became Luliani. That's a nice Italian spin to it. V'loyla Yosef Listis, and Yosef didn't become Listis. V'loyla Binyamin Alexandri, and Binyamin didn't become Alexandri. So you see clearly that the Shvatim maintain their Jewish names. So that's one of the reasons that the Yidu were Nigel in Mitzrayim. So you see from this medrash that there's an Indian for a person to maintain his Jewish name. But does that mean that it's true? La halacha does not mean it's true. La halacha. Rav Moshe discusses this in three places in Igros Moshe. In Erechaim Chelek Gimel, Erechaim Chelek Dalet, and Erechaim Chelek Hei. All the real halacha lemaisa, juicy topics you find Rav Moshe discussed several times in the Tshuva. People asked him and asked him again. So Rav Moshe says like this. So the Tshuva that, again, it's in three tshuvas. In Erechaim Chelek Dalet, Simen Samech Vav. So it's clear from the tshuva that the Shoyal asked Rav Moshe the following question. Again, the Shailas are not mentioned in Igros Moshe, but sometimes you can tell from the tshuva exactly what the Shaila was. The Shaila was as follows. There was a Yid whose mother had passed away. He had a daughter, and he wanted to give his mother's name. However, his mother went with a non-Jewish name. And the question was, should he name his child after his mother, or should he not name his child after his mother? Now, when we say non-Jewish name, I don't know if it means a very obvious Shemus Mufakim. It could be just names that don't really have Makaris in the Torah. Like even certain Yiddish names are non-Jewish names. I'm not exactly sure what the name was. But either way, it was a non-Jewish name. And the Shaila was, should he give it or not give it? So Rav Moshe answers the Shaila, and Teich Tvarev, he gets into a whole discussion about giving non-Jewish names. So I'll give you the punchline first, and then we'll work backwards. No suspense. Rav Moshe said, there's no question you should give the name. It's absolutely not a Shaila, because there's no Isser to give your child a non-Jewish name. And being that there's an Indian of Kibbutz of Aim to name your child after a parent, it's a tremendous covet, it's a tremendous honor for the parents. And Mechabdei Lachem Moshe, it's a Dover Poshet, said Rav Moshe, that you have to give the name. But Toich Tvarev, he discusses the sugya. Says Rav Moshe, you're going to ask me, Akasha, how could I tell you that it's okay to give non-Jewish names? We're all familiar with the Medrash and Parshas Emor, and really it's Midrashim throughout Chazal, that one of the reasons the Yidden were saved from Mitzrayim was because they didn't change their name. So, Mechatesi, it should be okay. Says Rav Moshe, what you see in that Medrash is that it's a Dover Meguna, that it's not a nice thing to do, but that it's Aser, you don't see. And Rav Moshe says two unbelievable Svaras, that Umawi Mikra Amir, Rav Moshe didn't say it, I think we'd be afraid to say. Number one, says Rav Moshe, it could be that this that Chazal said and accentuated so many times that the schus the Yidden had to leave Mitzrayim was the fact they didn't change their names. It was only Koidim Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, we didn't have a Torah. So if we didn't have a Torah, what separated a Yid from a non-Jew? Nothing. They didn't have Torah. Says Rav Moshe, they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Most of them, besides Moshe Levi, didn't even do Bris Milah. So what separated the Yidden from the non-Yidden? You know what separated their culture? So culturally, they were different. They had different names. They spoke a different language. So based on that, there was a chashivos, and it was that schus that they had to be saved. The fact that they showed that they were maintaining their connection to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they still had a munah that one day they would be a separate nation. So they showed that by culturally being different. That's why it was a davar chashiv, and it was in that schus that they wanted the geula. They wanted to be redeemed one day, that ultimately they were redeemed. But that was before Matan Torah. It says, today we have Tariq mitzvahs, today we have Torah. Today we have things separating us from the non-Jews. Being that we have things separating us from the non-Jews, it could be it's not as important that it once was. Rav Moshe, here in Igros Moshe Chelek Dal. In Chelek Gimel, Rav Moshe says something a little different. There Rav Moshe says, I'm going to ask you a question. Everyone quotes this Medrash that says, you have to have a Jewish name, because it was one of the reasons that the Yidden were oskelized, right? They were redeemed, ultimately, because they had Jewish names. One another thing that's mentioned, that same exact Medrash, is Shloshinu Asloshinam. They spoke Lashon Kodesh. It says, today, are people makbit to speak Lashon Kodesh? It says, people are not makbit to speak Lashon Kodesh. In another truth, in Chelek Rav Moshe says, even the Bali Tosfos, the Chachmei Tzarfas, they used to talk and learning in French. Moshe says it in the Tshuva. I don't know if he knows that, but he says they used to talk in French. And he says a lot of the great literature that came from the Sfaradish world was written in Arabic. The Rambam, everything but the Yad Chazaka wrote in. The Meir Nevuchim, he wrote in Arabic. The Pirush HaMishnayos, he wrote in Arabic. He said, even the Rif and Talmidov used to learn Torah in Arabic. They weren't makbid on Lashon Kodesh. The Medrash says it was in the Schus of Lashon Kodesh. So just like Lashon Kodesh, you see, there's no Isser, there's no Kpeda. Obviously, they had a reason why they felt it was okay. Like, Atchila, we should all learn Lashon Kodesh. Hey, maybe we don't speak Lashon Kodesh that well. Incidentally, the history of it is, I think the Chassam Sofer says, people stopped speaking Lashon Kodesh by Churban Bais Rishon. It's from a historical perspective. I think that's when Lashon Kodesh, so back in the day, Bizman Bais Rishon, people converse by Lemar. You know, that's how people talk, the way some people speak Hebrew today. But either way, that's you know, mashmecho.
Exactly,
come in the morning. Yeah, you know, but people don't talk Hebrew that way anymore. But during Bais Rishon, they used to. But at the same, just like from an Isser v'Heter perspective, Shleishinu es Lashonim is clearly something that's not Le'ikuva. So too, Shleishinu es Shumam is not going to be Le'ikuva either. But it's interesting, Rav Moshe goes through in this tshuva, he talks about different people throughout history, great tzaddikim that had non-Jewish names. So he says the Magid Mishnah, that's one example that he gives, whose name was Vidal, Rabbeinu Vidal, that's not a Jewish name. He says the Rambam's father's name was Maimon, Rav Moshe ben Maimon. Maimon, says Rav Moshe, is not a Jewish name. And he says, the truth is, if you want to fast forward into the Chachmei HaTalmud, the times of the Amirah, I'll read you inside. Vinei be'etzem, ha-matzinu harbe shema shel Amirah, shenikru b'shem da'aramis. They had a Ramah shenemen. Kegoy, Rav Papa, Rav Zvid, Mar Zutra, Mar Kshisha, Mar Yenuka, v'oid harbe, u'me'ago'inim ruba nikru b'shem Aramis. So Rav Moshe says, maybe Aramis is not such a kasha, because you could say Aramaic is a chosh of a Lushin, the Gemara was written in Aramaic. Maybe that's going to be a little bit different. I'll tell you another interesting one. You have the Mishnah right in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. So Shimon HaTzadik was the Mishyari Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo. He gave over the Torah to his prize Talmud. Who was that? Antignus Ish Soichai. Antignus is a Greek name. And the truth is that I once saw in a Sefer, he was pointing out, a very chashuva historian, he was pointing out that you see the Greek influence right in the beginning of when Alexander the Great descended upon Israel for the first time. That the Gadol Hadar, Antignus Ish Soichai, had a Greek name. Imagine the Gadol Hadar had a non-Jewish name. It's not something you can even fathom. And here you have Antignus Ish Soichai, who's a Talmud Muvik of Shimon HaTzadik, and he has a Greek name. And just to highlight what a big tzaddik Antignus Ish Soichai was, I'll tell you, interesting Rambam. The Rambam Zakhtam at the Pirush Mishnayis says that if you go through the Mishnayis, so you find Tanoim, are mentioned many Tanoim, Rambam has the number of how many Tanoim are mentioned throughout the Gemara, throughout the Shishas of the Mishnah, and he says that the Tanoim come really in three forms. Some Tanoim are referred to as Rabban, Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Yochanan Zakkai. You have Tanoim that are mentioned as Rebbe, Bekiva, Reb Tarfon, Reb Yishuv. Most Tanoim in Shas are Rebbe. And then you have Tanoim that have no name at all. You have Shammai, Hillel. They don't have any. So Ezra, what's the pshat? How come sometimes there's no name, no title? Sometimes it's Rebbe and sometimes it's Rambam. Says the Rambam, it's totally kefi chashivusan. That's what Rambam says. He says the least chashiv of the Tanoim were known as Rebbe. So most Tanoim and Shas were on the lower level, so to speak, and that's what they were referred to as Rebbe. The more chashiv were the Rabbans, Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Yochanan and Zakkai. They were more chashiv. The most chashiv had no title at all. Why would the most chashiv have no title? It's counterintuitive. Says the Rambam, no, it's not. It's because they were so chashiv that any title you would give them would take away from who they really are. And it's for that reason you find certain Tanoim. And says, I'll prove it to you. Yecheskel, Yeshaya, Yeshua, all the Tanoim. It should be Reb Yecheskel. To you. The Teretz is, they were so chashuv, they didn't have any title at all. Antignus Ish Soichai is one of the Tanoim, and Shas doesn't even have a title. That means he's from the highest echelon of Tanoim. No title. But what's his name? Antignus. A Greek name. You see the Greek influence specifically as it relates to Shemus. Incidentally, there's a Gemara Masechtes, Sukkot Afchav Chesam and Aleph. The Gemara says that Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. Katan Shebe Kulan was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Gadol Shebe Kulam was Yonasan ben Aziel. See, it stems. The Katan Shebe Kulam was Rabban. The Gadol Shebe Kulam was Yonasan ben Aziel. Just tell you, Rabbi Moshe concludes his tshuva with one caveat. He says, "Va'av shem mistaber kein," even though what I'm saying is mistaber, however, mistafino loy mezebele rayas gedolos. I'm afraid to say it without rayas gedolos. This is just a little bit of rain. That note, zok to Mishnah weiter. Oy meten getzal ishti. If somebody makes a shliach loy locha, and he tells the shliach loy locha, take this get isha and bring it to my wife. Shtar shikos alav the ori. Make somebody shliach loy locha to take a shtar shichra and give it to Zevit Kanani. Imrotzal lachse b'shneim yachse diver Rameir. So Rameir says if he wants to back out, he has a right to back out. The reason is because when you make someone a shliach loy locha, the kinyan is not chal. Because the shliach loy locha is shluchai shal adam kemoisoi of the husband, or in the case of a get shechur, of the master. And just like when the husband's holding the get, the woman's not megureshes until he gives the get over to his wife. And so too, when the other is holding the get shechur, the eved kanani doesn't go free until he hands over the get shechur to the eved. So too, if the mishaleach, the father, the husband or the adon appoints someone a shliach leilacha, nothing happens until it comes to the hand of either the woman or the Eved Kanani. And it's for that reason. This is only true. The fact that the husband can back out is begite noshim. If an adoin makes a shliach loylocha to give a get shichur to his Eved Kanani, he cannot back out at that point. And even though he only made him a shliach loylocha, because if he only made him into a shliach loylocha, why can't he back out? Nothing was chal, says the Mishnah very famously. Because there's a svara that says that this Eved Kanani wants to be freed as soon as possible. And for that reason, even though the Eved Kanani never appointed the Shliach Lohi Locha to be his Shliach the Kabbalah, he may not even know who he is, but there is an Umdana that had he known that there was someone that was going to be an intermediary in bringing his Get Shechur, he probably would have told him, do me a favor, be my Shliach as well, and I want you to be Mekabel again on my behalf. Being that that's the case, in the event that the Shliach Leilocha has in mind to be a Shliach not only on behalf of the husband or behalf of the master, but on behalf of the Eved as well, we say, Zochen La'odam Shalei B'fanav, he becomes a Shliach LeKabbalah. If he's a Shliach LeKabbalah, it's Chal immediately. It's Chal immediately. At that point, he won't be able to be Chayzer. Right. But either way, say the Chachamim, that only works B'Shechruri Avadim. Because a get shichur is clearly a schus for the eved. Thus, you have zochel adam shalei b'fanav. But as it relates to a gerushin, a husband divorcing his wife, by gitei nashin, it's not a schus, it's a chayv. A woman doesn't necessarily want to be divorced. Vein chayvin lo ela b'fanav. Why would you treat shichur as a schus and marriage as a chayv, or gerushin as a chayv? She'im yirtze shalei lozen es avdoi rashoi. The reason is because a husband has more obligations to his wife than a master has to his eved. So if the master decides no supper for you, so that's fine. You're not going to get any supper. If a husband says that he's been goyver on shechus v'leino, he has an obligation for it. So a woman, when she's married, she has certain schusim, and being that she has certain schusim, it's for that reason she cannot, it's not necessarily considered a schus for her to get divorced. Why are you necessarily treating shechur as a schus? Maybe it's a chayv, because an eved kanani, to the extent that he's the eved of a kohen, is allowed to eat truma. Once he's freed, he won't be able to eat truma anymore. But the Gemara says, that's true, it's a very good point, Rameir. But why exactly can he eat truma? Because he's literally kishayre, the chamayre of the adayin. Kishem shu paisel amrulay, mibnei shu kinyana. The underlying reason of why he's allowed to eat truma while he's in the possession of his adayin is because he's kanui loy, and that in itself is a davar shel chayv. So it's true that by freeing this eved kanani, he's going to lose out on one right that maybe he had. What was that right? The fact that he can eat truma. But the fact that he can eat truma is because he's kinyanai. And if you ask this person, would you rather be kinyanai and be able to eat truma, or would you rather be in your own possession, be able to come and go as you please, albeit at the expense of losing out on your truma? There's no question it's a schos. That's why the Chachamim told Rameir that I disagree with your halacha. You said that the husband and the Adon can both be chayzer because nothing's chal until it gets to the hand of either the woman or the Eved Kanani. I agree with you with regards to the woman. I disagree with you with regards to the Eved Kanani. Ishos, Gerishin, which is a chayv, in chavin el lefano, all the shliach is a shliach lahi lacha, it's not going to be an issue. Shichra, however, is a schus, zach lodom shalai befano, the shichra is chal right away, you cannot back out. So this Gemara right here is one of the areas in Chas where the Gemara discusses Zochin la'adam shalei b'fanav, ve'in chavin loy la'adam el l'fanav. Ironically, another area in Shas where it comes up in Noshim Nezikin is Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph. So you have Gittin Daf Yud Aleph, and you have Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph. It's Ksubas Yud Aleph from an Aleph, Gittin Yud Aleph from a Beis, but either way, Yud Aleph it is, and that near two, you have the sugi of Gerkot and Matpil and Eisal Das Bezdin. We have the sugi of Zochim Lodim Shalei Befanav. So there's some rate to talk about that, but in Metz Hashem, we'll save that for tomorrow. It says the Gemara, Yasser, Rav Huna, Rav Yitzchak by Yosef, Kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rav Huna, and Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, two Amayram, were sitting next to Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Yosef, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Vekam and Amnin. Rabbi Yirmiyah started falling asleep. The Yosef, Rav Huna, Vekamar, so Rav Huna got up and he said as following, Shema Mino, Mid Rabbanon, from the Rabbanon sheet in our Mishnah, that they hold Zochim La'adam Shalei Befanav, and therefore, even if the Eved Kanani never appointed a Shliach LeKabbalah, all he was really was a shliach halacha of the Adon. Still, because it's a schus for an Eved Kanani to be freed, he can act as a shliach Kabbalah, and the shliach is going to be chal as soon as he gets the get shliach in his hand. From here, you can learn a very important halacha. If somebody owes somebody else money, so Reuven lends Shimon $100. Shimon now owes Reuven $100. Levi knows that Shimon owes Reuven $100. Levi happened to have been in Shimon's dining room. You see, he has a nice piece of silver. So he said, "You know what? I'm a good friend of Reuven's. I want Reuven to get his $100 back." He's toifes l'balchayv. He takes the piece of silver. He goes over to Reuven. You can write off that loan. You're fine now. I just paid you back. Now, l'chura, you would think, it doesn't sound like it's oisgalten and halacha. But Rav Huna was arguing, based on our Mishnah, ha-toifes l'balchayv kana, it should work. Why? Because if Reuven would have walked into Shimon's house and Reuven would have taken that piece of silver, he would have had a right to do it. Had he made Shimon a shliach to do it for him, shlucha shaladim k'maisa, Shimon would have had a right to do it. The issue is, who made Shimon into a baldavar? Zoch aladim shalai b'fanav. So even though you never appointed me as a shliach, schia mitam shliach, as if I'm your shliach, I have a right to go ahead and do it. So the Gemara says, as they're having Omalei Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Yitzchak bar Yosef told Rav Huna, interesting chiddush, va'afilu b'makom shechav l'acherim, will it be true, even if Shimon owes more than just Reuven $100, he has other balichayim that he owes money to as well, so that when you take this piece of silver on behalf of Reuven, you're doing Reuven a huge favor, but there's Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvul, there's a lot of other people out there that are going to lose. I'm like, in, yeah. And why did he say in? Again, based on the Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, you're saying Zachal Adam Shalei B'Fanav on behalf of the Eved Kanani, even though it's coming at the expense of the Adoy. So you see Zachal Adam Shalei B'Fanav, even in Malkam Shechav L'Achrini. So the Gemara says, as they're having this conversation, Adahoch Ittuhu Buhu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah woke up. Amar Lahus, Rabbi Yirmiyah turned to Rav Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, and he said, Dardiki. Dardiki means like children. Hachiyam Rabbi Yechanan. What are you talking about? Hey, what Rabbi Yechanan said, the great Rabbi Yechanan. Hatoifas l'alchayv, b'makam shechav l'acherim, loikana. If somebody goes over to a loiva and he's toifas on behalf of a malva, if it's chav l'acherim, loikana. The entire Mishnah is saying, you ask me, Kash, and then our Mishnah, in our Mishnah, you see Zoch l'adam shalei b'fanav, even when it's chav l'acherim, who is it chav for? The Adai. The reason it works in our Mishnah has nothing to do with the fact that Zochin works even Bakr Shechav L'Acherim, but rather in our Mishnah, the Adoin told the Shliach, Tein Get Ze La'Avdi, and Kol Oimer Tnu, Kol Oimer Zechu Dami. There's a umdana that when somebody uses the word tnu, it's as if he said, he's telling the shliach, I'm making you a shliach le'lacha. If the halacha allows it, because of Zoch Adam Shalei B'fanav, I'm no problem with you being koina in it right now, meaning he's relinquished, he's being meichel any rights that he has for the Eved. Therefore, it's not considered chav l'achrini. Chav l'achrini would be if the Adin is protesting and he's saying, I don't want you to be freed now, I don't want you to be freed until you arrive by the Eved Kanani. I want to give myself an opportunity to back out in the event that that's what I decide to do. So there you would have the halacha of chav l'achrini. But being that kalaimer tenu kalaimer zechu dami, you still see zachon l'adam shleib b'fanav, because the Adin doesn't have a right to appoint a shlich l'kabal. So from the fact that the shlichos even works is a raya zachon l'adam shleib b'fanav, you, however, want to bring a raya that it works even b'malkim shechav l'achrini, that you don't have a raya. Amar Rav Chisda, ha-toifes l'vachayv v'makom shechav l'acherim. This very case that Amiram were discussing, where again, somebody was toifes l'vachayv where there are other bali chayves. So it's a schus for one person, but it's a chayv for others. Banu l'machleikis, Rav Elezer Rabbanan. It's machleikis, Rav Elezer Rabbanan. Where's this machleikis? So it's a Mishnah in Mesechtes Peya. Now we're going to the Mishnah, Mishnah Gidesa Peya. Somebody was collecting Peya, v'amar, and he said, arvezu l'ploini oni. So this person was not a poor man. But, and as a result, he doesn't have a right to collect peya. However, he's picking up peya on behalf of an oni. Not only was he not a poor man, Rashi says we're actually talking about the Baal Bayis. So he's the owner of the field. The owner of the field certainly is not allowed to take peya. So this owner of the field picks up peya. He says, nah, not for myself. I know I'm not allowed to take it, but I want to pick it up for someone that I know who's an oni. Says the Gemara, it's a machlekes tanam whether it works. It works. No, it doesn't work. You can't be zeichin on behalf of somebody else's, on behalf of somebody else. And therefore, if an oni comes to you, you're going to have to give it to him. So says the Gemara, what would the machlokes seem to be? Deshailo, you're a toifas l'bal chayiv, and mokash shechav l'achem. Does it work or not work? Says the Gemara, I say, Omer, maybe v'tem rab papa, dum aloi, it's not mukhach. Could be adkan l'kam rebel ezah hasa, maybe when rebel ezah say that it works in that Mishnah, because you have a svar of migu. The migu di bay mafklu l'nichse, v'havi oni. If this person wanted, he could have made all his nechasin hefker. He then would be an oni. He would then qualify for peya. So he has some way of claiming rights toward this, even though right now he doesn't. But there's a migu, there's a biyode svara. Then chiddush number two, umigu dezachel nafshei zachel lechavrei. Then there's a special svara that he's not just a random independent person. Now he's a bal davar. Oh, I could have taken it for myself. Now I have a right to take it for you. Right? Two chiddushim that the Gemara is saying in this svara. This person right now is a bal bayis, so he has no rights to it. However, he could become an ani. And if he was an Ani, he would be able to be Zeichet for himself. That's like a double Migu. There's a Biyode and a Migu. So obviously, the Lamdim have what to spend time with to try to understand. This is not an easy Gemara. But you have a double Svar over here. Why maybe you work? You don't have that Svar. Additionally, Vadkan, the Kamir Rabbanan Hassan. Maybe when did the Rabbanan say it doesn't work? By Peya, the Chsiv Le Salakit La'ani. Now, it really doesn't say anywhere Le Salakit La'ani. If the Balkari would say Le Salakit La'ani, they would throw things at him. What it says is, Ubekutzrachem, Skstir Artsachem, Le Sachalu Pasadcha, Bekutzracha, Velekit Kitzircha Le Salakit. Period. La'ani v'lagir. Tazav oisam. Ani Hashem l'keichem. So it really doesn't say lo'isalaki la'ani. However, the Chachamim darshind lo'isalaki la'ani. They took out the comma or the period. And they made it lo'isalaki. And what do we darshind? Lo'isalaki la'ani. You're not allowed to take for an ani. So maybe really, atoyf is la'achoyf. Afilu b'mokum shechav la'achirem ezocha. Why then did the Rabbanan say, you can't do this? There's a special lo'isase in the Torah. Lo'isalaki la'ani. Rabbi Eliezer, it's amazing that the Gemara is asking Kashmir Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer somehow has to darshan lo salakid lani. I mean, it's not the pasuk way to read the pasuk, but the Gemara says no. Rabbi Eliezer could also darshan lo salakid lani. And what is that? Mi boyele lahazer lo ani al shaloi. It's coming to say that if someone is an ani himself, he's a legit qualified ani, and he happens to have a field, and this payah in his field, he's not allowed to take his own payah. So gudai techamino, he's anyways an ani. So if he can take somebody else's payah, why should he be able to take his own payah? So that's the special pasuk of loy silaket la'ani, that you yourself, the ani, are not allowed to take your own payah.